A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 106. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Hyperdrive. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Hyperdrive was a BBC Two comedy sci-fi series that ran two series in 2006 and 2007. It featured Nick Frost, Miranda Hart, and Kevin Eldon in a fun show with pretty good computer graphics for space stuff and lots of nods and references to other science fiction shows from the past.
That's right. And it's the crew of the HMS Camden Lock struggling to protect and promote British interests and usually managing to mess it up and upset everybody along the way in this sort of quite British comical way with lots of bureaucracy and mistakes and so on along the way. Now, as we discussed in our last episode, the crew are responsible for diplomatic relations with a large number of alien races, and we'll go through some of them now. We've already mentioned the Glish, a rather slimy and repulsive, disgusting-looking race, who seem to be absolutely sexually obsessed, despite continuing to protest that they're not, and that caused some sort of humorous problems in the first episode when they wanted to rub various parts of themselves all over the crew of the Camden Lock, and they didn't like that.
Lots of wonderful squirmish moments there.
Yes, and there's lots of slime. Yes, they're a funny-looking race, and it's quite well done, and the two actors underneath the rubber and loads of slime and gloop are clearly having fun playing the parts.
They played it well. There was some pretty good comic timing there.
Absolutely. So that's the Glish.
Another memorable alien race from Hyperdrive was the Kwepu, who were sort of a medieval culture with a king of sorts and his daughter, and they had this bizarre sort of bright red rubber clothing with this enormous curved headdress that sort of pointed down in this bizarre, almost jester-like way. Just enormous and very sort of bizarre and amusing, sort of poking fun at some things from other shows, as was they had a weapon called the Doom Ray, which has the capability to disintegrate a prisoner to nothing within only 3 days. And they played this up for lots of good moments. So there was some neat stuff with the Kwepu there.
Yes, the Doom Ray was quite fun, wasn't it?
Yes, and again, it was played with some pretty good comic timing, and there were some good moments there. The Lalakas were also a recurring race. They showed up a couple of times, and they were very childlike and violent, and they had their battle song that was like almost a pop rock mix called Kill the Humans. That was their big chant. So they were going and chanting this, and they had very childlike things, and they had some cute moments, but it was definitely sort of parodying some things we've seen in other shows.
And then we've got a couple of alien races which really remind me of original Star Trek. We had the Bula, who are very sort of elegant and superior race in long flowing robes and look very smart, and they seem to be just sort of like refined and above the crew of the Camden Lock. But of course they have to get involved, and then there's another diplomatic disaster. And then a strange group of creatures called the Engulfers, who we see as a large sort of CGI effect outside the spaceship. And they're a sort of space-dwelling creature that we're told consume atoms and excrete black holes. And although there's several of them, they sort of reminded me in their appearance of the Doomsday Machine in a very memorable episode from the original series of Star Trek. They had that sort of look to them, Brian.
Yes, there was a bit of that feel there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
They also had a lot of fun on this show with the red shiny robots of Vortis. and they were basically a parody of the Borg from Star Trek, who want to extract all data from aliens into their data sphere. They did some cute stuff, but they were these sort of droning robots, and they had some fun with that, and it was quite clever with people running around on the alien ship of the red shiny robots.
Yeah, they are fun, actually. As you say, the crew of the Camden Lock get captured by the red shiny robots of Vortis, and they seem certain to be, I suppose, almost assimilated. And we get to see also, I think, in that episode, that Sandstrom, the enhanced human, as well as just steering the ship, she also has sort of enhanced combat powers, so she's quite good in a fight, and she seems to be winning the day against the red shiny robots until Commander Henderson unfortunately blurts out that they're only attacking her one at a time, and if they all attack together they defeat her, which of course the robots hear and immediately do. So an amusing moment.
That was a great moment, yes.
And as we've suggested, Hyperdrive is quite full of references to other sci-fi shows and to bits of British popular culture. We've talked before about talking about the Peterborough Enterprise Zone and trying to get aliens to holiday in the Lake District, and the suggestions that something awful has happened to Leeds and it has now been replaced by a huge crater. And as I say, we've got these sci-fi nods. We've got the first episode was quite clearly a parody of Alien with York going on a bug hunt throughout the ship.
And there were other Star Trek nods, old series, new series, all sorts of things. They had something that dealt with dreams at one point that had very much the feel of some of the Star Trek The Next Generation holodeck episodes. They had quite a few references to a variety of things in there. There was also something, there was a show within a show, because Captain Henderson is always watching a TV show called Captain Helix, and is watching this in his quarters with Captain Helix and a robot, and it's very much a sort of Star Wars parody and a bit of a Doctor Who parody at moments, but they sort of play up that he's watching this sort of exaggerated, very cheesy science fiction show of his own that he's always watching.
Absolutely. I mean, Captain Helix is it's quite hilarious. I mean, it's deliberately bad, I think, and it just has the one set in all of the Captain Helix episodes, and as you say, he has his companion robot who's just looks like a dustbin with some lights on it and just beeps constantly. Yeah, whenever Captain Helix turns up, it's great fun, Brian.
Yes, occasionally they'll have a woman on there who looks like something from original Star Trek or something. It's very much that parody sort of thing.
Yeah. As we say, they've got references to other bits of British culture. So we also get a reality television episode, a sort of Big Brother episode. The Kwepu, this medieval race who cropped up in the first season, reappear in the second season and again capture the crew of the Camden Lock, and they put them in this sort of reality TV show, which is a bit like Big Brother or Survivor, and they have to sort of fight for survival. And that's quite a fun episode. I mean, again, it's sort of great when the Kwepu turn up, isn't it, Brian?
Yes, and they had a lot of fun with the parody there. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, as well as nodding to Doctor Who and Star Trek and Star Wars, it's difficult to mention a British space-going science fiction comedy without referencing Red Dwarf. And Hyperdrive, I think, does owe something to the success of Red Dwarf, although perhaps never quite matching the sort of best moments of that show.
Yeah, I think it was sort of almost like an attempt to be the new Red Dwarf. It wasn't trying to be Red Dwarf, but it certainly had a feel that they were trying to get some of that vibe and some of that type of success there, but definitely with a lot of their different other ideas and their own original things as well. There were some great guest appearances in Hyperdrive. You had Stephen Mangan from Dirk Gently, the recent Dirk Gently telefilm. He appeared at one point. So there's a bit of a Douglas Adams connection there, which is nice.
Yep, and he's very good. He turns up as a sort of very dashing captain of a leader of a team of sort of, I suppose, aerobatic spaceships. And he's also a former old flame of Officer Teal. So there's some rekindling of romance there, which is quite funny. Stephen Mangan's very good. We also have an episode with Sally Phillips, another very familiar British comic actress. We hear the voice of Morwenna Banks from time to time throughout the show. So again, you know, these sort of well-known British comedy actors from the small screen, very familiar to us and giving quite good turns here in Hyperdrive.
Yes, absolutely. And then my favorite in here is that Jeffrey McGivern turns up. Jeffrey McGivern was the original Ford prefect in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy radio series. Hitchhikers was a radio series before it was on in books and TV and so on. So he was the original Ford and maybe the maddest, most insane version of Ford. I'm not sure. But he shows up as the Kwepu leader in a couple of episodes. And that was a great little performance. And he was very much fun to watch in this. And that, of course, is another Douglas Adams connection and a really nice one.
Yeah, he's great as the Kwepu leader, and his, as you say, his comic timing is spot on in some of the little routines they give him to do.
Yes, absolutely.
So we've got two seasons of Hyperdrive, both six episodes long. There was talk of a third series, but it never seemed to materialise. I'm not sure if the series was terribly successful in terms of ratings, Brian. I don't think it ever reached the sort of successes of Red Dwarf.
Yeah, I think it was not bad. It did get the second series, but yeah, in the end, I guess it just wasn't there to get a third one.
Yeah, and of course, now, since it's 2007, Nick Frost has gone on to making all his films with Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright. And of course, now Miranda Hart is extremely successful with her own comedy show. And I think Kevin Eldon has suggested recently that there's very unlikely there'll be a third series of Hyperdrive now.
Yes, it does seem like it's moved on past that at this point.
Yeah, just the two.
See, I can't get the rifle up to shoot at the monster. And why? Because these weapons are not designed for the ample bosom soldier. Yeah, that'll be changing. Thank you. Also, I've colour-coded the grenades, OK? You'll see a lavender stick and you'll think righty-ho napalm. Agent Orange is green.
Why don't you make it orange?
I don't know.
If it ain't broke.
If it isn't broken, don't...
You've managed to break the phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh, sorry.
And that has been good for hundreds of years, you know?
Oh, sorry, Commander.
So, we should talk about some of our own feelings about this, the good and the bad. What did we enjoy? What did we not enjoy so much? Eamon, what did you like about Hyperdrive?
Well, it does have lots of funny ideas. You know, I think the whole setup of a sort of British bumbling bureaucratic space service is quite funny, and it's played for, you know, lots of laughs in their various diplomatic disasters that they manage throughout. So yeah, I like the setup, I like the ideas, I like some of the writing that's going on here.
Yes, there are some good fun things in there. I enjoyed a lot of the performances and the comic timing. They were maybe not the very best, but there was some good stuff, certainly from those three main characters. Also, whenever Patterson Joseph shows up, it's very nice to see he always gives a fun and entertaining little performance as the space marshal.
Yeah, as ever, Patterson Joseph is fabulous whenever he's on screen. But as you say, also, you know, Nick Frost, Kevin Eldon and Miranda Hart are very watchable and lovely sort of performers. So that's great fun to watch.
Yeah, I think before this I had not seen Patterson Joseph doing a comedy role. So I wasn't sure if, you know, how he would do with that. But it turns out his comic timing is pretty solid. It was always good when he did those little appearances.
Yep, pretty good. I like the aliens that they encounter. I think the makeup and the costume department clearly had a lot of fun with the design of the and the appearance of the aliens. And they all look great, I think. You know, the prosthetics and the costuming are really sort of very good.
Yes, absolutely. I like the sense of parody they had there of how they would poke fun not just of specific shows and other TV series and films and the like, which they did, but they also poked fun at ideas from, you know, sort of general sci-fi things. And they poked fun at sort of themselves, you know, poked fun at British life and British stereotypes and so on. And that was always very amusing.
Yes, it is. It is quite fun stuff. What about the CGI, Brian? Did you find this pretty good?
It was pretty good. Not the best I've seen, but definitely pretty good. Among the British Invader shows we've seen, this is probably some of the best space visuals.
Yes.
I think I preferred the space visuals in Red Dwarf when they were at their best, you know, I'd say before Red Dwarf introduced the CGI, but some of the model work they did on Red Dwarf was very good, and I think I preferred to this. But Hyperdrive also, yeah, they definitely had some good stuff in there, and it was neat to see those space visuals. I enjoyed them.
Okay. What about favorite episodes? Were any particular ones that stood out that you'd pick out, Brian?
I personally liked the last couple of episodes. They did an episode that dealt with dreams I mentioned earlier and sort of dream walking, people entering into other people's dreams. And that was quite mad and over the top. And then they ended with an episode that was equally over the top and had some bizarre antics with an alien race being involved and had a surprise thing that was used from earlier episodes, and that was really neat. I felt that those last couple episodes were really where the show should have been, and it would have been nicer if they had achieved that earlier, but I thought they had really got something good by then.
Okay, yep.
What did you think? What were your favorite episodes?
Well, like you, I do like the dream episode, which does play out quite like a holodeck episode from Star Trek. But yeah, that's great fun. I sort of love the Kwepu whenever they turn up. So the two episodes with Jeffrey McGivern and the rest of the Kwepu and their ridiculous headgear, I think they're quite hilarious. And, you know, the antics that the crew have to get up to escape from these mad medieval lunatics. That's quite a laugh.
Yes, absolutely. So what were you less keen on this one?
Well, you know, we've probably hinted at it already. It's not the funniest science fiction comedy we've watched for British Invaders. It never reaches the sort of the superlative heights of shows that we've talked about, like Red Dwarf or Spaced, or particularly, I suppose, Hitchhiker's Guide. You know, it's a slightly more gentle comedy as it goes along, with a few big laughs, but mainly just sort of smaller chuckles, I guess, as we go in, Brian.
Yeah, I would agree. It's pretty good on the comedy front, but doesn't get to quite where, you know, I would want it to see, except maybe in those last couple episodes or, you know, whichever. But yeah, it's the writing and the comedy is good, but it would have been nice to see them sort of step it up to the to something a little more. I think maybe Nick Frost is better as a sidekick kind of character and better with the type of characters he plays with Simon Pegg than he is as the leading actor in something like this.
Yeah, I mean, we're much more used to seeing him as a comic sidekick, and this is unusual to see him as the lead role. Perhaps you're right. Perhaps he is better in those other sort of supporting performances. But yeah, so not too bad. As we say, sort of a gentle comedy. I personally thought it could have sustained to a third series, particularly if they kept the writing up to the level that, as you say, they achieved in the last two episodes. So, you know, one of the bad things is perhaps that we didn't get a third series here.
Yes, they had in those last couple of episodes, they worked well with the comedy, but they went to a more out there, more sort of insane kind of situation, which also Red Dwarf did at times. But because they hit that, it seemed like they hit the comedy marks a little better in this sort of insane out there kind of feel. And it would have been very nice to see a season made up of that sort of more out there, absurd kinds of things.
Okay. Were there any other problems you had with the show? Any other defects or difficulty areas?
I don't think there were many problems. It was more that it was just the level of the comedy and the writing was good and fairly consistent, but just didn't quite get to that very high level that you need to for comedy somehow. And maybe this is partly because I'm not a huge comedy fan myself, so I need something that really hits those marks well for me to be very satisfied with them.
Okay. yeah, as you say, perhaps not quite the highest comedy, but pretty good along the way. Okay, so if you want to watch the show Hyperdrive, which we've been talking about, we will get to the availability. Here in Region 2, it's quite cheap. It's just over £5 currently on Amazon. And you can also find it on the rental site Love Film. So fairly easy to get hold of over here in Region 2, Brian.
That's quite a nice release with three DVDs, one of which is dedicated to extras. So there's a nice bunch of stuff there.
Yeah, there is some fun stuff on the extras disc, some making of and some video blogs, and look at some of the special effects and set design, which is quite fun.
Unfortunately, there is no Region 1 DVD release. The Region 2 DVD set is listed in the Amazon.com marketplace for about $16, and that is Region 2, and it would be less expensive to bring it in from Amazon.co.uk in most cases. But the good news for North America is that Hyperdrive is available on Netflix streaming in both Canada and the US. So if you are a Netflix subscriber, you can watch that as part of your subscription on your flat rate subscription. You can watch all 12 episodes of Hyperdrive.
Okay, sounds like a pretty good deal. One of the few shows that we've discussed recently that's now available on this streaming method, Brian.
Yes, that's right. There are a few things there, and it's certainly nice to see this available in that form. So we should talk about our recommendations. Eamon, what would you recommend?
Well, I like Hyperdrive. I enjoyed watching it. It certainly isn't as funny as Spaced or Hitchhiker's Guide or the sort of the high points of the middle sections of Red Dwarf. But I had a lot of fun watching these 12 episodes. They're fairly gentle humour. There's nothing really wrong with them. And it's dirt cheap over here in the UK at the moment on Amazon, so I would actually recommend it. It's not one of the greatest shows, but it is good fun.
Yeah, I will say something similar to that. It is a fun show. It's worth watching. It, as I often say, is not at the top of my list, but it is a fun show, especially if you like space comedy. And if you're on Netflix, it's a great one to just try a couple episodes, see what you like. But it is a fun show, so I wouldn't be running out to get it as my absolute first choice. But sure, I would recommend this as a fun comedy to check out if you want to see a little more of British sci-fi comedy and see what that's like.
Okay, so sort of cautious recommendation from both of us here on British Invaders for Hyperdrive.
Yeah, it is fun stuff. So, in summary, Hyperdrive was a series about the crew of the HMS Camden Lock and their mission to promote British interests in a changing galaxy. And it is, of course, a comedy. These characters are involved with negotiations and promotion of Great Britain and its colonies and resources and so on, and they of course are not very good at it, and there are lots of situations of the crew trying to do things for Britain and trying to do things for the Space Force, and it somehow never quite works out, and there is lots of fun little comedy in there.
Very good, yes, gentle humor from the BBC with this science fiction theme. So next time, we're going to jump from the comic to the extremely serious, and we're going to cover one of the big science fiction shows from the BBC in the 1970s. We're going to be talking about Doomwatch, a show created by Kit Pedler and Jerry Davis. And as I say, Brian, quite a serious show with a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yes, and sort of environmental issues and some interesting things there. That will be an interesting one to talk about. Kit Pedler and Jerry Davis, of course, were a very interesting creative pair who did some interesting things with Doctor Who and as well with Doomwatch. So that will be a very interesting one to talk about.
Absolutely. Lots of stuff to cover on Doomwatch. And if you have anything to let us know about, do drop in and tell us on the blog or on the Facebook page.
Oh, yes, please do. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us there. So, thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and until next time, this is Eamon in England saying goodbye.